Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.
Of My Darkest Hour Radio. I am your host, Stefan Brigati, and thank you for joining me on this Thursday evening. Hope you guys are doing great out there. It's good to be back. Been doing a lot of traveling, doing a lot of shows. Been really busy. Being very active in the entertainment world, so it's great to be back here talking paranormal with you all. Tonight, as a guest we've had on the show multiple times, and great person to work with, great person to interview. I've had multiple chances to work with her at different events over the years. A really great opportunity to bring her back on the show and do a little bit follow-up on what she's been doing. And tonight my guest is Maria Legaña Sales, that you guys have known for. We've done interviews live from the Paracon events, especially Virginia City Paracons, and I believe the Jackson Motherlode Paracon, which is coming up again, so we'll be talking a little bit about that as well. So basically, for those who do not know or are not familiar with Maria is a psychic. She's been communicating with spirits ever since she was a very small child. Maria's abilities have been written about in several published works. We'll talk a little bit about that. And of course, she's done several television shows and webisodes. Some of the stuff that was posted on the Facebook page, it was kind of recent stuff that she's been doing. It's really great to see what she's been doing, and we'll get a little bit more into that. And she's also called in, you know, as a person that helps out with investigations, paranormal investigations, and utilized by a lot of other paranormal groups in the Northern California area as well. And I see her when we go to the Nevada events, Northern Nevada area. So let's not waste any more time and go ahead and bring Maria on. And before that, for those of you who want to, you can go to liveparanormal.com, log in, and there's the chat room. There is the ability to listen live. For those of you who want to listen, I posted the phone number to call in, so you can listen over the phone or Skype as well. And I know I'm talking over the radio right now. If you're not listening right now, you're not hearing what I'm saying, so it doesn't really matter. But I'll throw it out there anyway, just because I'm a nice guy. So let's go ahead and bring Maria on. So, hey, Maria, how are you?
Hey, rock star, how are you?
I am living the dream, and you?
I'm great.
Excellent, excellent.
I see your post on Facebook. You're doing the live thing. That's great.
Oh, so much stuff going on. It's Incredible. You know, I'm so exhausted, but I love every minute of it. I just can't stop. So it's great. So
fantastic.
Thanks for coming back on the show and spending some time with us. You know, I definitely wanted to get you back on and catch up a little bit. So basically off the top, like always, my first question for those who are new to finding out a little bit more about you, and everybody has that initial story about how they got involved with the paranormal. So if you can go ahead and give our listeners a little bit of that story about how you got involved with the paranormal.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've been seeing spirits since I was like a little kid. Since I was three, I had a friend when I was little named William, and I told my mom that I had this friend, and she asked me questions about him, and I told him he was bleeding and he'd been in a car crash. So, you know, back then, I'm not going to say how long ago, but my mom went to the library and she was looking through some microfiche. I mean, I know the older people know what microfiche is. And she found out that William had died from our, you know, close to our house and in a car accident a few years prior to what I was telling her. So my mom came back to me, you know, we're Roman Catholic Italian. And she said, Maria, don't show anybody. This is kind of crazy. People are going to think you're crazy. Just kind of keep it to yourself. So, you know, that's kind of how I kind of grew up. But as I got older, you know, it was harder and harder to try to suppress everything. And I kept getting, you know, people wanting to talk to me and giving messages for people. So I got involved with a couple of paranormal groups and things like that. And then from there, I worked with parapsychologist Lloyd Auerbach in the Office for Paranormal Investigation. And I worked with Lloyd for a few years. And he really, really got me grounded and, he really was a good mentor for me. He showed me a lot of good techniques and, you know, things like that. So ever since then, I've just been kind of doing my own thing and, you know, helping people and communicating with their loved ones.
Okay, cool. And Lloyd Auerbach, what a great person to work with and utilize those skills. And kind of tell you how, from their experience, how to kind of hone your skills as well. And makes great chocolate, and I like the ghost
amazing
chocolate.
Amazing ghost
well.
Drops. Yeah, he makes amazing
yeah.
ghost drops. But, you know, Lloyd really put me to the test because when I first met Lloyd, you know, Lloyd's very skeptical, and he asked me a little bit about myself, and I said, well, you know, I come from a very strict Roman Catholic Italian family, but I've been, you know, communicating since I was little. He said, okay, I have an investigation I want to bring you on. I'm not going to tell you anything, and I just want you to come on the investigation. I want you to tell me everything, and then we'll see, you know, we'll talk about me joining the Office for Paranormal Investigation. I said, great, you know. So he took me to this person's house, and right away I picked up on this man. And, you know, I was telling them about this man, and they're like, oh, my God, it's your brother, it's your brother. And, you know, so I'm walking through, and I'm like, you know, he's kind of rude, and, you know, he looks big and burly, and he's like, he's a biker type of person. He's like, oh, my God, that's your brother. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And I told them some, like, really personal details, so they were kind of impressed. And then we were going through, and I said, excuse me. I said, he's laughing, and he's telling you, what the fuck, Buffalo Phil? And he's laughing at you, and he's telling you, you know, you're a fucking idiot, Buffalo Phil. And I don't mean to use the language, but that's exactly what the spirit said. And the guy turned white, and he looked at me, and he said, excuse me? And I said, he's laughing and saying, what the fuck, Buffalo Bill? He's calling you Buffalo Bill, or Buffalo Phil, one of the two, I can't remember what it was long ago. And he goes, oh, my God. So he comes back, and he goes, I don't know if you know this or not, he goes, but I have been developing a car wax, and it's on QVC, and it's called Buffalo Phil's. Oh, that's what it is. Buffalo Phil's car wax, and it's a picture of him in a cowboy suit sitting on a buffalo, and it's called Buffalo Phil's car wax. I said, well, your brother thinks it's fucking funny, and he's laughing at you, calling you ha-ha-ha, Buffalo Phil, and he's like, okay. So all of a sudden, he's like a believer, right? So he's walking me through this house, and he goes, what else can you tell me? He brings me into the bedroom. And he says, what else can you tell me? And I said, well, this thing right here, it looks like a dresser. You've got it set up as a dresser, but it's not a dresser. This belonged to your momo, mumo, mama. He goes, my moma. I said, yeah, it's your moma's. That's what your brother's saying. I said, he's telling you to get your fucking shit out of this drawer because it doesn't belong in there. This isn't a fucking dresser, you idiot. And he goes, oh, my God. He goes, it's not. It's my moma's buffet, and my brother told me not to use it as a dresser. He goes, oh, my God. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. He's coming through loud and clear. And, you know, when I walked out, Lloyd pulled me aside and he goes, "Welcome to the Office for Paranormal Investigation." Thank you. So that's how I joined with Lloyd.
That's awesome. What a good story.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
And Lloyd is
so
great. I've worked with him and Annette Martin over the years. Well, you know, Lloyd is very much an atypical personality, and he's a debunker from, you know, the word go. And he will come in and he will try to debunk everything using science, because that's what parapsychologists, him and Barry Taft, they do the same thing. So they'll walk in and tell you 50,000 reasons why your place is not haunted, and they'll really try to debunk it. They'll bring in, you know, the EMF detectors and the EKG readings and all of that stuff. But they'll come in with magnets and they'll try to depolarize everything, and they'll pull plot maps and they'll see maybe you're on ley lines or something, you know. And then if they can't do that, then they'll call me and ask me to come in and see what I can pick up on. So I've been on several investigations with Lloyd, and one of them was the investigation that I posted on the event post. He asked me to come to this investigation in Hayward, and that's all he told me. It was in Hayward. So I show up, and I walk through the house, and all of a sudden the whole house melts away, and I see like this barn, like, and there's cows and there's horses and there's a guy there and he's shoeing horses. And I walk down to the garage and I'm like, okay, this is a working farm. This is a livery stable. I want to say livery stable. So I go through this door, mm-hmm. and it looks like a storage closet, and it winds up being like this whole built-on addition that I didn't know about. And I walked in and there was a spirit there. And I talked to the spirit and I got the family's name and who he was and who he worked for, and that this was a livery stable. And Lloyd had another psychic there with him who told the clients, oh, no, I'm not getting that. I'm not getting a livery stable. There are no horses here. This was a grand, blah, blah. I said, no, this was a working farm. This here was a livery stable. So Lloyd wanted to see who was right. So he called his friend who worked at the Historical Society in Hayward. And she came back to Lloyd. She said, well, on that property, there was a livery stable. And the Akasha family owned it, and they had workers there, and they were a livery stable. They horsed, you know, they shoed horses, and they worked with cattle, and that's what they did. That's how they raised their money. So Lloyd went back to the clients and said yes. And I told them the spirit that was there and why he was there. And so once we established that, the homeowners were able to work through everything, and the spirit just kind of, you know, went away. But, you know, they had to back up what I said through historical documentation, which is what they do. And a lot of times when I'm doing readings, they will do that. They'll look up what I'm saying in historical documentation as far as historical societies or books or mm-hmm. whatever. So, you know, that's a lot of what I do with Lloyd.
See, that's awesome. And of course, they're going to do that because they need to check facts, because you might be discovering something that might lead them onto something, because records are tough back in those days, and you get a little bit of information, but if you're picking up on a spirit, you might be able to learn more about that person or hit some facts, and it kind of continues with the history of a place.
Exactly, exactly. Especially when you have two conflicting informations, you know, you want to find out which is really accurate. And I was able to give Lloyd enough information that he was able to verify it through the Hayward Historical Society. You know, yes, this was a livery stable. Yes, this family named this, owned this property from this time to this time. Yes, there were several deaths reported on the property. One of them could have been yes. So, you know, that's really important. And that's why I work a lot doing cold case files, because I do get names mm-hmm. and I do get visions in places. So I'm able to help out the best that I can.
That's awesome, and that's what it's all about, trying to see
yes.
who's haunting there and
oh.
why. So you got to pick up on those names right. and those dates.
And I wanted to tell you something. Okay, so, Stefan, when you and I were up in Virginia City, we were at the
yes.
Bonanza, right? And they
Absolutely.
Had the suicide table at Bonanza. Okay, so
yes.
when I was there with Henry San Miguel, Henry saw the shadow dart from the suicide table to me. And I told him this was the ghost of, you know, Black Jake or whatever his name was, and he's here. Well, a couple weeks later, I was driving home, and, you know, I don't know if I should really be talking about this, because I've already been talking to the owner about this, but I'm going to share a little bit. So I got a message from someone who was desperately trying to contact the owner of the Bonanza and the Delta. Because, you know, we have the whole thing with the Delta blowing up, the roof coming off, and, you know, and having to move to the Bonanza. So I contacted the owner, Vincent, and I contacted him. I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, you don't know me, but there's two women here that want to talk to you. And one of them is screaming. She's screaming a name, screaming. And he's like, okay. So he asked me, well, what is the name? And I told him, and he goes, okay, are you researching me? I go, I don't even know who the fuck you are, dude, but I'm telling you, this name is coming up. He's like, okay, well, this person is, and he told me who this person was, and I'm not going to reveal too much because it's a very personal subject, but he's like, that's this person. And I said, okay, well, she's screaming, and there's this other lady there, and he said, what's her name? And I gave him the name, and he's like, oh, my God, that's my mother. And I said, okay. I said, these two ladies are screaming something about some type of ailment. And I told him the ailment, and he goes, no, I don't know. And I'm continuing, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, you know, lately I've been blah, blah, blah. And I said, you said you didn't know about that. They've been screaming about this to you. And he's like, oh. He's like, can you come up and work at the Bonanza? I'm like, no. He's like, come on, I'll promote you, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I've been talking a lot to him, but I gave him names of two people very close to him that had just recently passed away. And the reason why they were contacting me was from a health issue, and he was, you know, confirmed that he was really shocked, really shocked. So, you know, and he told me when I go up there, we have an open time.
I'm totally down. Yeah.
Yeah.
The experience that we had there in general was incredible. I mean, even more of a detailed investigation would be incredible.
Oh, yeah. And the owner of the Bonanza and the Delta, he is such a kind person. Doc, he's very nice, kind, giving, you know, very businesslike. But, you know, before I talked to him, he really wasn't a believer in the paranormal. But after I talked to him and the spirits that were with him communicated with him, now he's very open to it, and he's, you know, very receptive to it, and he wants us to come up more. But just a nice guy who needed help, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's strange that you say that he was a non-believer because he owns the Bonanza, and when we're there, so many things are happening. There's ghosts all over the place flipping lights on and off and touching people and stuff. I mean, it's going off the hook. But then again, we're a little bit more tuned in to that,
Stefan,
got his shield up.
It's that same kind of thing where if I've never seen it, I can't buy into it. You know what I mean? I'll give you an example. Okay, so my house was built in 1917. It's a 3,000 square foot craftsman style home. It's very haunted. So my guest house in the back, I had a couple who was renting. Okay, so one night I invited them to come over and we watched movies. We used to watch Thriller, which is a black and white series that was hosted by Lon Chaney. No, not was it Lon Chaney or the guy who played the Mummy? It was not Bela Lugosi, but Boris Karloff. Okay, so
yes.
Hosted by Boris Karloff,
early
1960s, black and white, it's called Thriller, right? So my friend Sean, his husband's in the kitchen with my husband, and they're talking about all the experiences they've had and all the sightings they've had with the spirits that are in my home. So Sean says, I've been here 2 years. I've never seen anything. I don't believe in anything. This stuff does not exist. And I told him, Sean, in my house, never tempt fate with the spirits because they will prove you wrong. He's like, well, I've been here 2 years, and I've never seen anything. I said, okay, fine. So we went into the family room, closed the doors, turned off the lights, and I turned on the TV. And we're watching this black and white episode of Thriller. You know, Boris Karloff comes on. All of a sudden, out of the TV, a full body, full colored apparition steps out. It's a man dressed in like Victorian clothing, steps out of my TV into my family room, looks at Sean, looks at me, turns sideways, and walks straight into my wall. Sean, who is African American, turned a shade of gray I'd never seen before. And he looked at me, his eyes were bugged out, and he goes, and I said, see the ghost come out of my TV and walk into the wall? Yeah, it happens all the time. Here, have some popcorn. And since that day, he never wants to step foot in my house. Never.
how funny.
Yeah.
But that's what happens, you know. And like, he's freaked out by it, but he's looking at you, and it's an everyday occurrence. So it's not like a big deal.
Right.
You don't get up and go, "Oh my God!" It's just like, "Oh, hi
no,
there."
No.
Bye.
No. Right. Hi. How's it going? Right. And I've posted pictures of the spirits. I've actually gotten pictures of the spirits in my house. I've posted pictures, but it's the same type of thing with the owner who owns the Delta and the Bonanza. He didn't see anything. He doesn't believe anything. But when you can give him hard evidence, hard facts, things that they can't deny, what else is there? They have to believe. They have to let down their guard, and they have to believe. You know, most
That's
people
true.
Are skeptical.
They're no longer speculating. Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's all about the experience. Because you can sit there and talk and speculate, and people can show you pictures and show you videos all day long, and all it is basically is a video and a photograph. There's you know,
right.
nothing really to that. But when you're standing in a room and you get an apparition standing in front of you, well, that's a whole other ballgame.
Exactly. But for most people, unless they experience that for themselves, you know, they don't believe. I can't tell you how many times I've had people send me pictures. Look at all these orbs around my daughter. Oh, my God, my daughter sees orbs. Well, no, your daughter's standing in a field. It's dusk,
yeah.
and she's tromping through weeds, and she's standing in dirt, and you've kicked up all of this dust, which you've now created with a flash to look like orbs. These are dust orbs. They're not paranormal. They are absolutely normal. You know, I get that a lot. I don't buy a lot into orbs unless, you know, they come with a particular intelligence. You know, like you've been there, you're talking to somebody, and you say, "I see this person, and they're flying," or "I see something moving," and then you catch an orb. You know, with intelligence and an orb, that I can believe. But with dust particles, or you're in a dusty basement, you're tromping around, or you're sitting on a dusty old cloth couch, and all of a sudden, there's 50,000 orbs around you. Guess what? They're not orbs. They're dust particles.
Yes. I used to get hundreds of photographs sent to me, people trying to send me evidence or check this out. What do you think? Same thing. It's a nighttime shot. We're outdoors using a flash. There's mist. There's water in the air, you know, depending on where you live. And that's what we're seeing.
Yes.
And when I tell them that, they just get so mad at me, saying, "No, it's not. It's a whole bunch of spirits in my front yard." It's like, no, these are not spirits. But I'm not saying you don't have spirits. I'm just saying this photograph is a bunch of mist at nighttime in an outdoor scene. Thank you so much.
Or maybe you should put the spirits down and sober up a little bit. You know?
Yeah.
But,
different kind of spirits
I mean,
are chasing me.
Right, wrong type of spirit, sweetheart. Put the wine down.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but
they just get so
mad when they ask for your opinion and you give it to them. They're like, "No, you're wrong." It's like,
well,
"I'm sorry, I just gave
you
my opinion."
You know what it is? You know what it is? They really don't want your opinion as much as they want affirmation.
Yes.
You know, they don't want your opinion. They want you to agree with what they're saying. There's a difference.
Yeah, especially businesses.
You know,
they're all about that.
Exactly.
My hotel's haunted.
Yeah,
I told you, right?
You know what? Right, and I mean, you know, it's crazy because some businesses, they base their whole business and their tourist attractions on the fact that they're haunted.
Yeah.
So, you know, you come in, and heaven forbid you should debunk anything because then you're like enemy number one.
Yeah, I come into the opposite now. I go to these places, these hotels, and what was it? The Stanley Hotel. You know, I'm out there and I'm doing a shoot, and I'm with the one of the managers, and he's saying, "Oh, well, you know, people come out here for that stuff, but, you know, I've never seen anything here. I don't think we really have any ghosts here, but, you know, we don't really talk about that stuff. We're trying to play it down. You know, people come here for other reasons, too." I'm like, dude. 80% of your business is because people are coming here to look for ghosts. And he's all,
they come here
because of the movies or films here. And I'm like, dude, you should be embracing that. You'll continue making so much money. But he was like trying to get rid of all that stuff and didn't want people talking about the paranormal. I'm like, what? You kidding?
Exactly. Exactly. And then you got the opposite. Like, okay, so the Hotel Leger, let's talk about that because we're going to be there in November. And I love the Hotel Leger. I did a TV episode of Hotel Impossible with the host Anthony Macchiori when he was renovating the Hotel Leger. And he brought Lloyd and I on board because everybody in the town kept saying that the Leger was haunted. So Anthony Macchiori, I'm there with Lloyd. Lloyd's doing his thing, and I'm sitting down in the dining room area with my husband and my daughter, and we're eating lunch, and the host comes up, and he sits down, and he introduces himself. Very nice, old-fashioned Italian guy. And he says, you're a psychic? I said, well, I'm a psychic medium. And he goes, well, what's the difference? I said, well, I'm not going to forecast your future for you. I'm just going to tell you if your dead aunt is here to talk to you. And he goes, okay. He goes, but I got to tell you right now, he goes, you're full of shit. I don't believe in anything you say. I said, oh. I said, that's okay. I said, I'm not here to convince you. I said, I'm not trying to prove my point. I said, you guys asked me to come here to see what I can do, and I'm here. I said, you know what, whether you believe or not, that's fine. I'm not here to try to convince you whether I'm crazy or not. I'm just here to do a job. I said, that's okay. You do what you do, and I'll do what I do, and, you know, nice meeting you. So I do a walkthrough with Lloyd, and we go down into the basement area, and I say, Lloyd, I see several tunnels coming into this basement, and there's women and men coming all through these tunnels. And Lloyd said, well, as far as I know, there's only one tunnel that leads from the bank to here where Leger would make money transfers. I said, no. I said, Lloyd, the women would come from upstairs down into the basement to meet these gentlemen who are coming from all these different tunnels. And Lloyd said, Maria, and he said this on camera, he said, Maria, there's only one tunnel that anyone is aware of. I said, no, Lloyd, there's several tunnels in here. He goes, okay. So we stopped filming, and we go upstairs, and Lloyd grabs the owner, and he goes, excuse me. He goes, tell me about the basement. There's a tunnel down there, right? She goes, well, actually, there's a network of tunnels because the tunnels lead all throughout town, and they go up to different businesses because the Hotel Leger was a boudoir at one time, and the men in town would want to come visit their ladies, but they couldn't do it respectfully. So there were all these tunnels where they could go through different businesses and come out into the basement of the Leger. So over the years, after, you know, Prohibition was over, they walled up all the tunnels except one to the bank. And Lloyd goes, well, I had no idea. She's like, yeah, well, we didn't know either until we started renovations. So I said, okay. So Anthony Macchiori was like, okay, well, maybe she looked this up on the records or whatever. And I said, there's a woman down here. She comes down to meet the men that are here. And so she likes men. She'll touch men. So if you get touched down here, it's her. So, you know, Anthony said, yeah, okay, thank you for sharing, blah, blah. And so I go back upstairs, right? I'm not up there 10 minutes, and Anthony Macchiori comes running up the basement stairs into the kitchen going, no, oh, my God, no, leave me alone. And I'm like, whoa, calm down, what's going on? He goes, something fucking touched me down there. Something fucking touched me, ran her hand on my head. Something fucking touched me. I'm like, whoa, calm down. He's like, no, you calm down. You don't understand. Something touched me. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he goes, oh. You do understand. I said, yes, I do. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm not going back down into the basement. I said, you don't have to. I said, but she thinks you're cute.
How funny.
You know, now Anthony Macchiori is a believer in the supernatural, and the paranormal.
You know, that's interesting because I wonder if he comes across stuff like that in other hotels and stuff.
You know, I don't know. I've never asked him, but to me, he came across very definite. He was definitely not a believer, and he thought I was full of shit. And then that happened. He was like, yeah, you know, you do know what I'm talking about. You're actually right. Well, yeah, I see them. Yeah, I know they're there. So after that, you know, he touched bases with me every now and then. He's like, hi, but he doesn't really bring up what he's doing. And I'm sure he's run across other things in other hotels because I don't think the Hotel Leger is that, you know, that special or different. I think there's a lot of other hotels out there that are haunted as well.
I'm sure. I mean, so much energy from people coming and going from these hotels, all the different emotions they got caught in there. There's got to be things that are happening all the time. And with him doing the hotel, you know, impossible stuff, all they do is go in there and start renovating. And we know from doing cases with hotels, a lot of the activity picks up when you're trying to do renovations. because you're changing the
environment.
Right.
Well, we all know what happens.
Getting all
right. We all know what happens when we do renovations, either in homes or hotels. You know, we kick up things that don't want to be disturbed. You know, because we're changing stuff. We're changing the familiar and making it unfamiliar, and spirits are not happy with that. So, you know, it's not uncommon. I find it hard to believe that he's never encountered anything like this since.
Yeah, he probably just writes it off as, oh, that was strange.
Right. Exactly. Well, not anymore.
So, well, now he gets it. So good for him. At least he's coming around. Now he can actually go to hotels and stuff, and with an open mind, and maybe experience something for himself. That's really cool.
Exactly. And I told him, anytime you need me, just let me know. I'll come again.
Perfect. For those of you who are listening out there, my guest tonight is Maria Lagana Salas, psychic medium. We're talking about some experiences she has had being a psychic and working in the industry. For those of you who want to go to liveparanormal.com, check out things on there, listen to the show, interact in the chat room as well. You can do that. I did on the Facebook event page. I did put in the call-in number for those who want to listen to, over Skype. So I just want to make sure everyone is getting the show. So let's talk a little bit about experiences in the paranormal. You know, we all do these, go to these different places. Tell us your favorite experience you had investigating in the paranormal. It doesn't have to be an investigation. It could be something involved with the paranormal.
Okay. So my favorite thing, believe it or not, and I think I actually posted it, was the channeling of Sarah. Do you remember when we met at Ghost Rush in 2008?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was in Volcano, right? Volcano, California. And I was there with API, American Paranormal Investigations, with Ann and Dave Bender, who are actually also
mm-hmm.
going to be at the conference in Jackson in November. So I've been dealing with severe – the mother load, yes. So I've been dealing with some health issues, some severe anemia issues, and I was taking prescription potassium and things like that, and so I wasn't feeling well. And I was slated to lead an investigation at the Union Hotel in Volcano. So everybody knows about the St. George. St. George is haunted, yes, but nobody really knows about the Union Hotel. The Union Hotel in Volcano is now privately owned, and it's a B&B, and it is very haunted. There is a Union soldier that is there, and there's also a little girl named Sarah. So we were doing a big group investigation. I already wasn't feeling well, but I tried to ground myself as much as I could. And we went into the investigation, and down in the dining room, we got her to play and move some spoons around, and people were like, ooh, that's nice, you know, and something told me to go upstairs. So I took the group, we went upstairs, and we were in the hallway that was leading to the bedroom. All of a sudden, I started feeling a little nauseous, and then I don't remember anything else after that. Fortunately, or unfortunately, there were several cameras and video cameras there that recorded the fact that this little ghost spirit, Sarah, jumped into my body and took me over. And she was talking to some people that were there. And the thing that was interesting about this is that when you see me, after she takes over my body, my facial features change. My nose gets sharper. My chin gets pointed. My cheekbones look hollowed. And she's talking, and she's interacting, and she's saying what's happening, and she's giving a name, and she's talking. And then, you know, my other partner that was with me grabs me, and he starts trying to wake me up. And as he brings me around, and this little spirit leaves, you automatically see in the camera my facial features just melt and soften. It's the weirdest thing. And when I woke up, I don't remember what happened. I'm shaky. I'm looking around. I knew I had a camera in my hand, and now it was gone. And I was looking for my camera, and, you know, somebody said that I had dropped it and almost fell over the railing, and they gave it back to me. I mean, it was really crazy. I had never been, like, forcibly taken over like that before. But when I look back on the video, it was like, wow, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, she wasn't malicious in any way. She was just a little girl who was having fun, who wanted to talk. So it's on YouTube. It's called The Channeling of Sarah. It happened in 2008. If you guys want to look it up, it's there. But it's very interesting because of the fact that you do see on the camera my facial features actually morph and change, which is really bizarre. But that was one of my favorite investigations. I've gone back several times to the union since then, and I've spoken with Sarah, and she's still there. She's very active. Her mom is there, too, very protective, but she loves to interact. So anybody who's looking for some really good, you know, paranormal interaction, go to the Union Hotel, go up to the second floor, and ask to speak to Sarah. And you won't be disappointed.
That's awesome. Do you have that on your Facebook page, or where can they look up that video?
I posted it on your invite, but it's also on YouTube. So if you go on YouTube and you look up The Channeling of Sarah, and you look and it says Ghost Rush 2008, a paranormal investigator gets more than what she bargains for, blah, 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 blah. So somebody that was there at the event who caught it on video actually posted it on YouTube. So it's there. If you look
Very
on YouTube,
cool.
You'll find it. Just look under The Channeling of Sarah.
Oh, it's also on your Facebook page, too.
Yes, yes. On my paranormal Facebook page, it's there. Yes.
Yes. That's cool. That's pretty wild stuff to actually see yourself, your face morphing into a shape.
It was definitely weird. It was weird. If I wouldn't have seen it on camera, I would not have believed when somebody said, oh, dude, your whole face changed. And I wouldn't have believed it, but they actually caught it on film. And it's in the dark, so it's with an infrared camera. And if you look, there's nobody around me. There's people around me, but nobody's touching me. Nobody's manipulating anything. And the only thing they're doing is keeping me from falling over the back railing because I have no control of my body whatsoever. So it was, when I saw the video for the first time, the person who posted it called me and said, hey, you know, I'm posting this. I want to make sure it's okay, but I want you to take a look at it first. And when I saw it, I was like, holy crap. Really? Wow, yeah, post that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's pretty wild stuff. And
it's
weird that you can see the change, but you can't really feel the change, you know, unless you feel the muscles pulling and stuff like that. But that's just almost like a psychic impression that's imposed upon your facial features.
Well, the thing is, like I said, when she took over my body, I completely blacked out. I had no memory of anything from the time I walked upstairs up until the time that Jason, the other investigator that was there, put his hands on my shoulder and, like, called me out of it. And then the only thing I remember was he was shaking me, and I opened my eyes, and I had been crying, so my mascara was all run down my face, and my face was all wet, and I was congested, and I couldn't find my camera. I had a camera, and I was looking around for it and couldn't find it. And, you know, everybody in the room that was with me was like, oh, my God, what the frick just happened?
I'm sure. I was probably freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, there was about 20 or 30 people in the room with us, and they all saw it happen, and they were all just like they couldn't believe it.
That's interesting, you know, and like I said, you probably don't even know that's really happening. I mean, you can feel their presence hitting you, but the morphing in them, like just stepping into your body, and how do you prepare for something like that? It just kind of happens.
Well, yeah, it does. And the thing is I know better than to go into an investigation where my body is not healthy. As a psychic medium, the first thing that I do whenever I go into an investigation is I ground myself and I protect myself so that that kind of thing does not happen. Because, I mean, luckily, she wasn't, malevolent. You know, she was a malevolent spirit. There was no malintent there. She wasn't demonic. She wasn't there to possess me. She just wanted to get her point across. But, you know, I know that I should never go into an investigation where I am not completely fully grounded and healthy and, you know, able to block myself. And so that was my bad on my part. But the one thing I can say is if you're going to go into an investigation, make sure you ground yourself and protect yourself because, dude, you never know what's going to happen when you get in there.
That's right. That's why it's called the unknown. We walk into an unknown situation. You don't have to try to figure out in the first 5 minutes what you're dealing with just to be safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, that's always a big thing. A lot of people don't even think about that. They talk about paranormal tools and stuff and all of the fancy gadgets they can get now and all the lights. You know, I like playing with new toys too, but they forget a lot of the original tools that we use in investigation is yourself. You know, what you're feeling. Your body's an instrument too, because you go into an area you don't feel sure about, you get that sense, that gut sense, and that's a psychic ability. A lot of people don't realize that. You know, that first impression, you know.
That nagging feeling, that foreboding that you shouldn't be there, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. If it doesn't feel right, then you got to be on your best guard. And you can feel the electricity in your air. You're made up of water. So anytime there's static electricity, kinetic energy in the room, it affects us physically. It makes us not only tingly, but we can start losing our balance, feeling a little dizzy, lightheaded. Sometimes people get headaches, or I've been in investigations where things turn on so intensely, investigators get sick and they have to leave because they're going to throw up. It affects your body as well. So you have to go in there hydrated, you know, feeling good and aware of what's going on with your body before you enter into an investigation.
That's right. Strong and healthy. Healthy mind, healthy body, very important, because you do have to protect yourself. You know, like I said, I was not healthy when I went on that investigation. I was dealing with some health issues, and so my guard was down, and that happened. You know, since then, that has never happened, because I've always made sure that I've grounded myself. And when we've gone to the paracons and things like that, I do teach how to ground yourself, how to protect yourself when you go into investigation, so that exact scenario does not happen, because it can. And you get all these junior investigators who go in like, dude, I'm going to go check out some ghosts. You know, I got me an EMF detector and I'm going to go hunt down some ghosts and an EVP recorder. Well, that's great. And, you know, I'm excited that you're so enthralled with the paranormal, but you know what? Do your due diligence and protect yourself first. Be smart. Don't just dash into an investigation without actually protecting yourself and being aware of your surroundings and the energies that are there and what could happen. Protect yourself. That's all you have to do.
It's very important, but I do see these guys that have these YouTube channels and stuff. They like to go into places raw with no protection, because if something's going to happen, they want to experience the full experience of whatever might happen, you know, and it's pretty stupid.
Well, it's very stupid, because if you get in with the wrong entity and they can attach themselves to you, you know, they can make you sick, seriously ill. They can destroy your family. They can wreak havoc on your life. They can hurt you. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, Doug is a good example. Doug has an attachment with him that makes him sick, that attacks him on a daily basis. And, you know, he just was getting over an incident where he was very ill. Something happened and he was very ill. And he attributed it to, you know, this attachment that he has. And, you know, people don't realize, you know, you're dealing with things you don't know. And with good comes evil. And, yes, there is. And it's easy for them to attach themselves to you if you are not fully aware, if you are not fully protected and know what you're doing. It's not a game. It's not, oh, fun, let's talk to ghosts. It's a real situation.
Yes, and I wish everybody would consider that, because, like we said, it's the unknown. Just going in there wholeheartedly with your camera and your recorder, hoping to have a good time, you don't know what to expect. You know, it's not always like that. Investigations are all different, every single one of them. All the spirits are different.
Right.
They're not the same. They have different energies, different strains. They're multidimensional beings, and they can wait. They can take their time and pick at you like Doug. Doug's a haunted survivor from intense abuse.
back in the day.
Yep.
But yep. As that he dealt with that, time went on and it went away. Then it comes and pokes at him a little bit, and then it splits again. Then it comes back and pokes at him a little bit more. So it's never really over, and that's what the importance that we're talking about, attachments. And that exactly is that.
Right.
They put their mark on you, and they know where to find you. They pretty much tag you and come back to you anytime they want. So you
that's
have
right.
to protect yourself.
When they need to draw energy from you, they do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, when I go on extreme cases, when I really know it's going to be bad, I won't eat meat for like a week. I will totally like cleanse my body and eat pro, you know, health foods and lots of water, you know, try to get my body nice and healthy as possible and have nothing inside my system rotting away like meat or something, because it can create a weakness in your system. So
right.
I do that and I protect myself full blown with everything I got before I go into those intense cases, because I know immediately they're going to feel threatened and they're going to strike. It happens every time. If they try
every
need
time.
To push back and see
and
how far they can push you, you know, it's the game
right,
you play.
Exactly. And see, for me, I do a lot of, you know, astral projections. So if somebody tells me, you know, I want you to be at this location, I will try to see what I can project and what images I get before I go there. And if it's really bad or if I'm getting a sickening feeling, I won't go, and I'll bring it, you know, to somebody else, like maybe Father David Deerfeeder. Okay. He's a demonologist.
Uh-huh.
So if I feel that there's a situation that's unsafe, I am not trained for, I will ask Father Deerfeeder to go in and take care of the situation, or, you know, somebody like that that's been trained to do that. I don't just go into any investigation, because there are just some things that I don't deal with.
Exactly. The first part of it is getting in and trying to figure out what you're dealing with. Because once you figure out what you're dealing with, then that depends on the type of technique you're going to use. If it's more aggressive, you might want to think about bringing some outsiders in that can help with certain techniques and, you know, removals if need be. Because a lot of times, I'll tell you straight out, people, you go to these haunted houses, and it's not always grandpa's ghost coming back to visit the kids. You know, sometimes it's something a little bit more that wants something or is angry about something. And when they're full-blown angry, it's even hard to get them to calm down to work with these spirits because they're just mad. So
you've got
to be careful and protect yourself.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%. So coming up in November, 8th, 9th, and 10th, we have the McCallum Hills, the Paracon in Jackson again. So that's going to be exciting because we're going to be at the Hotel Leger, and I love the Hotel Leger. So it's going to be a lot of fun there, and we're going to do the jail and all that stuff up there. So it should be really exciting.
The jail, did you do the jail last time?
Actually, I stayed at the Leger, but I've done the jail before. The jail is very interesting.
Yeah, that weird long cell that's kind of away from the other place, that's a really weird room. And there were some strange things happening
it
in there last time I was in.
It gives you a creepy feeling. Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. It definitely gives you a weird vibe when you go in there. And you definitely – we caught some EVPs in there last time we were in there.
Yeah, and what'd you get? What is
that? It was Get Out. You know, but before we got the EVP, I walked in and I'm like, okay, the ghost that's here, he doesn't want us here. He's asking us to get out. And then we got, after I said that, there was the EVP on our recorder that went, get out. Just like that, get out. Okay, we're out of here.
That's funny, yeah, because you do that, and especially in a place like that, a lot of times they're still sitting in those cells, and they don't want to be bothered by anybody. They just want to be left alone.
Right, well, they're pissed off
that
they're in there to begin with, right, because you're in jail.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got all these people invading your space.
Yeah, and it's all day long. You see people walking in with these recorders and their stupid flashlights going, is anybody here with us? Tell me your name. And this guy's just like, oh, God, not again. These guys,
right?
I mean, I get it.
Zach Bagans that go in there. Why don't you do something to me? Why don't you push me? Are you angry? Why don't you take it out on me? It's like, really?
Yeah. We don't like bullies, but and we don't like you. It's like, dude, easy, Tiger. Maybe he just wants to talk
right.
about something. Give him a chance. I mean, you never know.
Right. Be respectful.
Oh. Some of those shows are just amazingly bad. What was that show? The Kling Brothers were on. And they would always go in there, like, standing at the stairway, yelling at the spirits, I'm calling you out. You better show yourself right now. It's like, dude, really? If I was that ghost,
right.
I would just leave and go hang out in the garden until you guys are done.
Right, right. I'd just give them the finger and walk away.
Like, absolutely. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
Like, you want to possess somebody, possess me. Why don't you push me? You like pushing people? Why don't you push me around? Well, okay. Fine. But you know what? If I was a spirit and you were in my house and you were doing that to me, dude, come on. I would be like,
yeah.
What a douche. And, you know, I'd just kind of walk away.
So just so you guys know out there, we're not talking about antagonizing. Investigation is like anything else in life. You have to go in it with a great respect. And if you want these spirits to respect you, you need to respect them and treat them good. And
exactly.
I'm saying that from experience. Exactly what we're talking about, those stupid TV shows that do that kind of crap, antagonizing. I used
that's
to do that. I was
and
that guy.
That
I was that idiot before. I was that idiot on investigation, and it was a bunch of ghosts of bikers that were antagonizing this little lady, choking her and stuff. And I got tired of it, and I went into the room, and I was like standing there. I'm like, all right, you guys think you're all tough choking out a little old lady like that? You think you can hit somebody? Why don't you do something to me? I did the exact stupid thing, right?
Right.
I got punched in the face. I got punched in the face.
Right. Right.
Right. I mean, right in the lower right-hand side of my jaw. I mean, my camera guy goes, dude, your face. I'm like, what do you mean my face? He goes, look. And I went in the mirror, and it was just the spot, and the swelling on my lip was going up, and I'm like, oh, shit, dude. Seriously?
Well, you know. Yeah, and you know, I'm not surprised because if you had gone up to a bunch of bikers in real life and done that, you probably would have got the same response. You know, it's like I tell people, you know, when you go into a haunted situation, okay, and you have spirits there, you don't know who these spirits are. Most of the time they might be Grandpa Joe or it might be your Aunt Phyllis or whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't go up to my Aunt Phyllis and go, hey, you know, you want to push somebody? Push me, what, you know. I wouldn't do that to somebody in real life. You know, a lot of times spirits are who they are when they were alive. So when they passed on, their personalities haven't changed. They're either sad or confused or angry, or they're just not nice people because in life they weren't nice people. It doesn't make them demonic. It just makes them not nice people. So you don't want to go in like all gung-ho with full guns blazing, going, dude, do something to me. Push me. Punch me. Because you know what? In life, if you would have done that to somebody, you probably would have gotten knocked the fuck out, right? And so
absolutely.
You walk into an investigation like that, and that could happen. So when you walk in with respect saying, I don't know anything about the spirit, think of them as they were once a real person. They were once a living human being with likes and dislikes and family members and people who loved them and people they loved. When you walk in with that kind of respect going, how can I help you? Why are you upset? Why are you angry? Why are you acting like this? Let's work it out. How can I help you? You'll be amazed at how much more responsive the spirits are to you than if you go up to them and go, push me, punch me. You think you're so bad? Do something to me. You know, I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Don't do that. It doesn't work out good. Being cool will get you further.
No.
Even
right,
with the negative
and, you know,
entities and stuff, the dark stuff, if you're cool and just talking to them, they'll communicate with you too. They're not going to try to attack you, but they'll tell you. Yeah.
Right. Good example. Washoe Millionaire Club. You know the cowboy that's in there. So I go in there with Doug, and we walk in. And, you know, Doug and the cowboy, they have some history together. So we go into the Washoe, and we're up on the second floor where, you know, the gentleman's club is, and we're talking, and the cowboy comes in. And Doug feels the cowboy and that negative energy, and all of a sudden he's like, you want to do something to me? You want to push me? Why don't you push me, tough guy? I'm a big guy. Push me. And, of course, he gets pushed and knocked down onto the floor. And I go, Doug, stop, wait a second. So I go up to the cowboy and I say, I'm sorry, let's start over. Why are you here? How can I help you? Give me some information. Who are you? You know, let's start from there, you know. And so I talked to him and I talked to Doug, and Doug turned around and talked to him differently. And all of a sudden, Doug was getting all of his information from the cowboy, and he never has been attacked again. And he was like, you know what, you're right. I went into this investigation with the, you know, show me attitude, and someone showed me. But when I turned around and gave them respect, I got respect back.
That's what it's all about, respect. It goes a long way, even in the paranormal field.
Yep, exactly. Well, anywhere. Anywhere. Like life and death, you know, same.
Yes, it's true. All right, so Maria, we only have about 4 minutes left. An hour goes by pretty quick, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. Real quick, tell the people how they can get a hold of you if they have any questions.
Okay, well, if you want to schedule a reading or if you have any questions, you can always reach me on my cell phone. My cell phone is posted on my Facebook page, or you can reach out to me on my Facebook page and message me. It's Maria Lagana, L-A-G-A-N-A, hyphen Solis, spelled like sales, S-A-L-E-S. Go ahead and message me. Or if you have an investigation you need help with, you can contact me that way as well. Like I said, my cell phone number is on there. My email address is on there. Feel free to reach out or contact me. We are going to be at the Hotel Leger November 8th, 9th, and 10th for the next Paracon that's coming up, and I'm excited about that. So if you guys are interested in a really amazing Paracon at an amazing haunted hotel, get your tickets now. Also, you can go on my Facebook page, and there are links to the ticket page to be able to buy tickets. We're going to be there with Marie and Jay, who are amazing, and the Yateses, they're amazing. So it should be a really good time. Are you going to be there, Stefan, or not at this one?
I am not going to be there, unfortunately. My son decided to get married, so I will spend time with my son and my new daughter-in-law.
How exciting. Well, congratulations, and that's very exciting. So I can understand why you're not going to be there.
I'm pretty excited about it, but I will be at all the other ones after that. Of course.
Fantastic. And you owe me a Bloody Mary. So
I do.
We'll work it
for
out
for your birthday
then.
I totally missed out on that one, and I gotta get you that Bloody Mary.
Dude, you are so on my bad list right now. You're on my naughty list. I'm not giving you anything for Christmas.
that's fine. Like I said, I'll make it up to you. I swear.
I know you will. You're good for that. It's fine. No problem. But I look forward to meeting you guys. If you get up to Jackson, I look forward to meeting all of you guys. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you and good night. And I will be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much, Stefan. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. It was a great time.
All right. You have a good night. And that is going to be it My Darkest Hour Radio. I am Stefan Brigati. Thanks for tuning in this Thursday evening. Want to give a shout out to my sponsors, Chili Man Salsa, the Paranormally Hot Chili Salsa, which is great flavor and a lot of heat. I want to give a shout out to P-Tech Paranormal Technologies, who makes all the great gears and gadgets that we use in our investigation. Also want to give a shout out to Liz Johnson at Lizzie Wizzy's Crafty Creations, who makes stuff for us to keep us warm during those cold, long nights of investigating. And to the Northern Nevada Ghost Hunters. a lot of great events and good things coming up from them. Also, keep an eye out for the Doug Carnahan events that I will continue posting the calendars for you guys who are up in that area to get a chance to go to those great events. And that will be it for the show, and we will see you guys next time right here on My Darkest Hour. Thank you and good night. Once I find this ending piece, there we go. Good night, you guys.
Okay.
This is John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James.
This is the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, and you're
listening to My Darkest Hour with Stefan Brigati on LiveParanormal.com.